So welcome back to part two of my discussion with Michelle Golder and Amanda Steckley. So we'll start with yourself, Michelle. You did an awful lot on Wren, and it's the title, associate producer, co-producer. I don't think it really sums everything up. So give us an idea of some of the things that you were doing on Wren.
Basically, it's like being sort of a manager. You have to try and keep the big picture in your head. What is happening today? What is happening tomorrow? What is happening next week? And what needs to be put in place so that it will happen? So we have, you set a date for when do we first start shooting, for example. So the pre-production stage, which I won't go into, starts to come to an end, and you see the date looming in front of you. We're actually going to start production. You're going to start shooting. So day one is going to happen. What needs to be in place? Do we have all the crew? Do we have all the extras? Is the set going to be ready? Is there more materials that need to be collected? How is the equipment hire going to be sorted? How are we going to feed everyone? Who's picking up the actor who's arriving from wherever at 10:05, and then the other one who's arriving from another direction at 11:30, and what time are we going to actually start shooting, and all those details. So you have to constantly be thinking about those, thinking ahead on a day and on a, and farther into the future. But at the same time, because our crew was very, very small, I had to be on that day's immediate needs. So often I was cooking, or you know, at least I was in the kitchen helping whoever was doing the catering that day wash potatoes or whatever it was. Or I was in the car rushing to Royston to pick up someone. Or I was sticking moss into the prison set. Or, you know, whatever needed to be done urgently, I would sometimes have to do that. So I was often, I think, quite distracted. So when people would come up and try and talk to me, I would have many things going on in my head. I mean, and one of my goals was definitely from the very first, since we were using so many volunteers, since, you know, no one was being paid, was to make sure that it was a positive experience for everyone. So I worked really hard to make sure that everyone felt welcomed, especially in the early days, and that everyone was fed and knew where the toilets were and all that. As the production went on, as I've said before, I think I got a bit exhausted, and there are some people who came on board late who I'd never exchanged a word with. But yeah, I did try really hard to make sure that the atmosphere was good, and I did get some really nice feedback on that from some people who said that they never spent a day on set where they didn't feel like everyone was having a great time. And I was like, thank you, that's the best feedback you could give.
You did succeed. You did succeed.
So that was good. So it's a management position in which you're overseeing all the different aspects of making a film, which are many. There are many, many different aspects. It's procurement, it's, you know, there's people management skills, you know, human resources, budget, logistics, marketing, publicity. You know, the day that Anglia TV came was a particularly fun but stressful day. We had Anglia TV, we had a new stills photographer, it was her first day. We were trying to get some good professional stills that day. And it was a day that we had a lot of extras and a lot of action.
And Chris was not there for 2 weeks.
And Chris was away.
So I was
He was there that day, I think, wasn't he? Yeah, he was there for Anglia
really?
TV.
Yeah, he was.
But we had the fight director there. You know, I think we had your dog. So it was a crazy, crazy day. But great. You know, most of the days, until I sort of ran out of energy, which was in the last sort of week or so, it was a great challenge, but it was really fun. And it was literally like, okay, spin that plate. Now run to the next room and spin that plate. And, you know, just keep it all going somehow.
No, so I don't think anybody... You can't portray it over the interview about how much work there was involved. I mean, you just talked about things. But then, of course, there's all the bits you haven't talked about. And, you know, and at any moment, somebody could turn up and say, Michelle, where's the candles? Or where's the smoke? Or where's the...
Mushrooms!
Like, whatever,
where's the mushrooms?
The mushrooms, I mean... Right, okay.
Yes, yes. We've got a mushroom crisis.
Yes.
Yes,
or something's happened. Where are we going to get this from? Or something's not turned up. And it would go back to often, Michelle, you know, why? Where is somebody? You know, oh, their train's not turned. They missed their train, and it would often go back to you, because somebody hadn't turned up.
Hmm.
if somebody hadn't turned up, it would be Michelle who had to fix it. Mm. Yeah, it's rather a parental role, unfortunately, isn't it, in that sense?
In the sense that everyone sort of does look to you when they can't put their hands on whatever it is or solve whatever problem. It's a problem-solving role.
It is.
And, you know, I do like that. I like solving problems.
Mm-hmm. Good. Because you had a lot to fix.
It's good to hear that the feedback's been good. And obviously the production completed the shoot.
Which
is good. But you mentioned something just then about extras. And of course, something about Ren that was, I think, a little bit special was the sheer amount of people that you had at some of the shoots. I think at one point you had between 40 and 50 people turn up. I guess it was a little bit like herding sheep, but
busy.
But you know, what was that like? And what does that make you feel like, all those people turning up?
It was awesome. I have to say it was awesome. It was terrifying. And when we talked about it, I had done a feature film the previous year in which we had a scene which was meant to be set in an airport, and we'd used something like 20 extras. And I found that quite stressful. It had been the first time that I'd worked with a lot of extras and had to recruit a lot of extras and make sure they were there on time, ready to shoot when the director arrived. So I knew, you know, what that meant. I knew that it was hard because there's a lot of people. You have to make sure they're in costume. You have to make sure they know what they're doing, et cetera, et cetera. So I knew it was going to be challenging. And when Kate originally had sort of briefed me on it, there were supposed to be 2 weekends that were going to be big extras weekends. And I had been dreading them. I had been thinking, oh, I don't know how we're going to cope. That's going to be a lot of people. How are we going to, you know, how is Miriam, the costume team, the makeup team going to cope? So on the day when it all worked and the people were out there and ready to go, slightly late, I will admit, but looking amazing in their costumes and smiling and clearly having a great time, it was exhilarating. And there was food to feed them, and, you know, it worked. And then even later on in the shoot, when we found that we actually needed a lot more days of extras, because as always the case, things were more complicated than we expected them to be. By then, I had sort of got it down to a science. I knew what you had to do, so that was fine. You have to get each one to sign a form and sign in on the day, so you've got to make sure all the paperwork, all the I's are dotted and the T's are
crossed.
So I say ticked. But even then, it was just great. It was exhilarating, and it made me feel, this is one of the hardest things to do, and we're doing it. And we've done it, you know. We've found the people. We could have found more. We could have used more. But the biggest day that we had, we actually ran out of costumes. We couldn't have costumed more women in particular. So, you know, I think
we did
pretty darn well.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The amount of people that you'd costumed and made up. Yeah, the amount of people that you did that too was quite astounding, and those people were turning up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, and loving it,
Having a nice time.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I really didn't believe that people were going to be willing to do this, and they were not only willing, they were loving it. You know, and you know, for anyone who's never been an extra on a film set, it's a lot of standing around and doing nothing. But they seemed to enjoy it. I just never saw a sour face amongst the extras. It was absolutely amazing.
Well, I hand it to the extras, actually, because they were very good-humoured. Everybody was very positive, and there was a lot of standing around. And, it, you know, some people were a bit cold or whatever, but they were all very good-natured, and there were people who, you know, were willing to stand or sit and wait, and everybody was very... very, you know, good-humoured.
I do think it's a credit to our team. I do think that Miriam and Becca and the other makeup artists that we had, because we ended up using quite a few makeup artists, were the nicest people that you could ever find. And
yes, it does really help having such a fantastic crew.
Yeah, and I think Kate and Neil as a team, you know, they really made it fun.
Yeah.
They really did.
And Chris is first AD.
And for Chris's first AD.
He's a great first AD. Hmm. Really great. Herding people in the way that Chris was doing it was fantastic.
Which is not easy. It's not an easy job.
So.
And he was doing it in costume while having to kind of think about what he was doing in his next scene. And playing multiple parts. Spoiler.
Yeah, I was, yes. Occasionally I'd sort of say, you know, Chris, where's the drill gone? Help me out. Come and move this. You know? Yes.
The straw is falling off this house.
No, never did that. What are you talking about? The thatch was perfectly in place at every moment.
Yeah,
sure.
Of course.
Stop spoiling.
That was the weekend. So you also had some shooting days during the week where I think you probably weren't necessarily expecting to need so many extras. I think you had a couple of busloads of people come from universities as well.
We had a... I need to check the name of that drama school, but there was a drama school that contacted us through a friend of mine quite late in the shoot. And the wonderful Ella Kent was the name of the teacher who volunteered her students as extras for us and was just amazing. So they came 3 or 4 days, I think it was. My only heartbreak is I really, really wish we had had them sooner, because they filled out the numbers beautifully. She brought busloads of them. They were all young and keen and really enjoyed it and looking to make careers in the film industry. So it was really relevant and good experience for them. So,
do you remember the name of the company?
I thought it was
company.
No,
it was like Da Vinci.
Yes, it was a Da Vinci school.
Yeah,
it was a Da Vinci school.
Yeah, well, Ella Kent was the teacher, and thank you, Ella, if you're listening to this. She was
school.
Amazing.
And they were very positive, weren't they?
They
didn't mind waiting around, and they were very smiley and very kind of keen. And, yeah, they did make for a young-looking crowd.
Yes, well, that's what I say. It would have been so great if we had got hold of them sooner, so that we could have mixed them in.
Indeed,
and used them more intelligently. But also, we got through Ella, one of the young people who I think actually was her son, Christopher, then became one of our action team, because he had aspirations to be a stunt person.
Yeah.
And he actually took part in some of the action sequences. Mm. So that was fantastic. And by the way, they were all over 16.
Well, you mentioned a couple of things there. I mean, partly about the amount of work that goes into the production, but also, as you just mentioned, there's it's not just about... love stories and soldiers and things. There's action, there's stunts to be had as well. But also, it's, you know, it has a period look about it, which you can't just go and film in the middle of Cambridge or you know, somebody's house. Thankfully, you had a few months and a location to build out the village. What are your thoughts, yourself, Michelle, on that process? And you, Amanda, when you turned up, because you weren't right there at the beginning, but you came in and made a big difference towards the end there, of the village itself.
Again, I am blown away by what these guys accomplished. When I came on board the project, the plan was to shoot it in Cosmaston Village. And one of the first things I did was a set visit with Chris and Kate to Cosmaston Village in Wales. And it was amazing. It was beautiful. It was fantastic. And I could just see this happening. But we were told by the guy who we had been in communication with about hiring the village that Disney had recently expressed an interest. And I think partly because of that, the prices that we were quoted were just not realistic for our tiny, tiny budget. And that then really threw a spanner in the works, because what were we going to do? Where were we going to find a suitable location? And when Kate at first started talking about, well, if we could just find somewhere where we could build the set, I was, I have to say, skeptical. I just didn't think that this was going to happen. I thought that it would cost too much, and where would we get the people and the expertise to do it, and would it look good enough? And, you know, I was skeptical. But when we did manage to get our hands on what eventually became Wren Studios, which was through a lady that I met walking my dog, and I was talking to her about the fact that we were looking for a suitable space that had indoor and outdoor and lots of storage, and she mentioned that she knew a man named Bill Grain who had a space that we might be able to use. And that, I mean, it's a miracle. It really is a miracle. Miraculously, it turned out to be at we came up with an agreement that worked for us financially. Let me put it that way. I don't want to divulge any details there, but it was in our price range. And once Chris then buckled down and started putting the first flats together, which I think we bought, actually, the very first flats we purchased from Cambridge Woodworks, which was a wood recycling company nearby. And I saw how quickly he did it and how confidently he did it. My skepticism started to sort of fade a bit. And then when we started getting the first volunteer, we had these, the very first weekends, which I think you came to, Michael, the very first weekends where we asked people who were supporters of the project to come and lend a hand in making these sets. And we actually got people who could do stuff, you know, who were not just, yes, I'd like to help in a film. They were actually, you know, you brought your tools and you had a clue, and Chris could say to you, Michael, go off and make a corner and put a roof on this, and it would happen. Then I started to think, okay, yeah, this is really possibly going to happen. And then I had doubts when we came to the decoration part, because I always knew, you know, we overcame each obstacle as it came up, and I always knew that making the set look amazing, you know, was going to be more than just building it. That all the painting, all the decoration, all the Amanda can talk about this, the way that you look at make it look right is not something you learn overnight or that you just pick up. You know, it's difficult. It's a craft. So what were we going to do about that? I didn't know. I think I pestered you a bit, didn't I? I did pester about it, because I was really hoping. I knew that, you know, it was a big ask. But I was really hoping that she would come on board, because I knew we really needed her. And thank God she did. I don't think you knew how desperate I was at that stage.
Yeah, you probably did pester me a little bit. But I'm really very glad that I did.
Because I remember the first time I introduced you to Chris, and I was really happy because I thought, they like each other. You know, they were getting on, they were laughing, they were having a good time.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, good, you know, because I was, you know, obviously if you liked Chris, because you were going to be spending a lot of time working with him, that was going to be helpful.
Yes.
But then the next time you were supposed to come, something had come up and you couldn't come. And I was standing outside with Chris, and he was there all alone that day. For it must have been a midweek day, and there was nobody there to help him. And there was so much still to do. And we didn't know what your feelings were about the project or whether you were going to come back. And I did. Yeah, there were many, many days where my skepticism sort of threatened to bubble up again. And where Chris, I think, felt, I don't know, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but there were days when, you know, we had to just say, well, we're just going to keep going. We just have to keep going.
Just crack on.
Just crack on, see what happens. But yeah, when the shoot day approached, you know, the question of whether it was going to be ready in time was definitely not a sure thing. Let me put it that way. It was definitely not a sure thing. It was, in my mind, it was like, will this happen?
So you're up then, Amanda. So you turned up, the first day you turned up, what did you think?
Well, the set wasn't finished. but it didn't feel, I mean, Chris is one of those people who doesn't show particularly any fear much. And so that's, he has a very good calm veneer, as we know. And so he wasn't showing, you know, he was behaving in quite a calm way, even though the set wasn't finished. And the shoot day was approaching. And so that's a very nice thing to work with, somebody who has a calm way about them and a very, very positive way about, he's got a very positive way about him to work with, and works very, very hard. And that's a lovely thing to work with. Somebody who cracks on, works hard, and appreciates what you're trying to do, and he's very easy to work with from that perspective. You know, he's very good humoured, and asks for help when he knows he can't quite move forward with something, because he knows that it's not an area that he has an expertise, and yet he's extremely capable. In you know, lots of other areas he's extremely capable, but there were areas where he was getting a bit stuck. So so right from the off, that was very easy to work with. So I felt that I could contribute somewhere. There was an area where I, you know, could definitely help out. And that's a lovely project to work within, isn't it? It's very attractive if you feel that, you know, there's an area there that your skill could be of use. So it became very instantly attractive to me to know that I'd be appreciated and to know that I could make a difference, I think. So, I felt that I could help. And
I think you liked the set. My impression was when you did come, the first day, when I dragged you kicking and screaming.
That sounds awful.
Anyway, I got you there and I did think about manacling you and keeping you.
No, I was just busy, so that's good.
I felt the vibe that I got from you was that, wow, this looks fun.
No, absolutely. Lovely people. Great concept and great set, a great kind of bones of a set, if that's the right way to put it, because obviously there was, you know, quite a bit of work to do. I thought, whoa, they've got a lot of work to do, is one of the things I thought, but I can help, I can make a difference, and I can see where it needs to be, where it's going. So I'm willing to really jump on the train, which is lovely. You know, I like the train and I'm willing to jump on it, and the people driving it are really nice. so that's why I came on board. But it was quite difficult. For me, I had a lot going on at the time. So that was my only hesitation and my only, you know, concerns about actually contributing to it. And financially, it was, you know, a bit of a difficult ask for me. But nevertheless, along with lots of other people on Wren, I jumped on board anyway.
It's going to make you famous.
Yeah. Well, it's a lovely thing to have contributed to. And I still am, you know. I can look at the work and look at the stills you've taken, Michael, now, and I think that I'm very proud of what we've created together. This web scene is a beautiful collaborative project. It's not in any way, I don't look at the work and think, what I've done. It's in no way my work. You know, I worked alongside Claire Finn, who's just the most amazing production assistant that I could have hoped to have worked with. She's astonishing. So Chris, you know, me, you, Michael, I couldn't do it without you, Michelle. I couldn't have done that job without you. How could I have done that job without you? How could I have done that job without you, Michael? How could I have done that job without Claire? How could I have done that job without several contributors who came in and offered their services, actually, for, you know, nothing on the weekends that they were volunteering? A couple of volunteers had incredible art skills that were painting some of the keep and turned out to be really good artists, you know. That was amazing that we just happened to have people there.
We always seem to find the right people at the right time. It was really amazing.
Jammy, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Really lucky. So I kind of, although I think we all feel we contributed quite a lot in many ways, and Michelle, you know, you wet your fingers to the bone on this project, but it's been so collaborative, really. I think everybody.
And, well, filmmaking is, and well, so is theatre. But I think Kate. I mean, I've worked with Kate on so many small films now, and she does make it fun. She just has a great sense of fun.
She has a very good, positive vibe, actually.
Yeah, she enjoys what she does,
and is never negative.
No, both of them do, Chris and Kate, they just do handle stress amazingly.
Yeah, I think you and I have our moments of kind of...
Yeah, I have meltdown moments.
Yeah, we both have sort of meltdown moments, don't we? But then it diffuses quite quickly afterwards, I think. Or we have a hug and it's fine.
Yes.
But Kate and Chris both are just quite sort of... I don't know, Chris has his moments too.
Yeah.
Goes in a room, shouts at the wall, comes back, it's fine. But Kate is very positive and creates a really positive kind of feeling.
Mm.
And Neil too, actually. Neil is
In a different way. He's very relaxed, isn't he?
Very relaxed, almost horizontal.
So whenever I have the opportunity, which we're all too few, to be on set, I could see that the atmosphere being created was lovely. Which is not necessarily an indicator of a good film, but I do think we have a good film. But it was really lovely to see.
Mm.
It's lovely to see the way that they work together.
Working with Neil, being around Neil, from my perspective, was incredibly calming as a DOP. Having someone doing that job, which can be quite stressful, you know, his job.
Well, especially because he was doing more than that job.
Yes. He was. And there were, yeah, and he was doing it on the fly often.
Yeah. And again, as were we all.
Yeah, but it meant for a very calm, because of his nature, a very calm environment on set. Mm.